there. We'll actually read the chapter of Luke 15. Our focus, however, will be verses 11 through 32. As we look at Christ's embrace of lost neighbors, as this is exhibited for us in Luke 15, and particularly the context we find there, the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes at how Jesus received sinners. These words, Luke 15, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable: What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And when he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and he was longing, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants."' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother's come, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Thus our reading from God's holy word, and may God be pleased to bless his word to us tonight. Congregation, no one sets out to be a Pharisee. No one wakes up and says, you know, I think I'll be a Pharisee today. I got a goal. I want to be one. I'm going to give it a try. It's more likely we're accidental Pharisees. We just find ourselves acting like one, thinking like one, being one. And of course, the big danger of all of that, even talking about Pharisees that way, is we start being Pharisaical toward Pharisees. And that's not a real good one either. I know these are very familiar parables to you, but we come to them to look at Christ's embrace of lost neighbors, because that's exactly what the Pharisees didn't like about Jesus. Don't get over it. It's exactly what they didn't like about Jesus. That's how it starts. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. Look who hangs around him, man. Look who likes him. Look who wants to listen to him. This man receives sinners and eats with them. That's one thing to be cordial on the street, but he has a meal with these people. And this prompts Jesus to tell three parables about lost things. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost sons. We might think to ourselves, well, okay, God goes after lost things. Well, he does. It's interesting how things get lost. A sheep, I suppose, could be nibbling grass and gets a whiff and sees some greenery somewhere else and wanders from the fold to get another mouthful, finds itself a little further away, and then nibbles some more and finds itself a little further away. And goes down a little ravine to nibble some more, finds itself out of sight, and before you know it, the sheep is lost. Coins, by the other token, they're passive things. Coins just sit there. Perhaps there it's sitting on the table with others, something gets bumped. It bounces on the floor, no one notices, it rolls and tumbles and finds itself under something. Maybe other things get laid on top before you know it. Where's my coin? This is big dollars, come on. But a set of circumstances, it finds itself lost. And then the son. The younger brother is rather deliberate in his being lost. I don't want this faith community. I don't want dad's farm and dad's living and dad's people. I want to get out of here and do it my way. This is a deliberate, rebellious lostness. And we find people like that. They stray from the faith, one mouthful of worldliness at a time. They sort of dabble a little on the edges and get a little further away and a little further away, and before you know it, they're gone. Or some things happen to people. Your children can be nurtured in the same way, but that child went through circumstances and difficulties these other children didn't, and it was damaging, hurtful, harmful, and they're lost. And then we're all sinners who know when we've sinned deliberately, and sometimes we're not very sorry. Sometimes we get fed up with fellow believers. We get fed up with the community. We grow short of patience. We see the hypocrisy, the things we don't like. Oh, I don't want to be around it anymore. Or sometimes we just want to rebel and do it the devil's way. That's what this son did. Give me my share of the inheritance. And through all this, Jesus is telling it as he embraces lost neighbors and grumbling Pharisees or accidental Pharisees don't like it. They grumble. They fault find Jesus. That Jesus, I don't know about him. And yet we're called to mirror his heart for the wayward. Because we're introduced to a brother too. A father and a brother. What kind of father was he? What kind of brother was he? What kind of father do you need? What kind of heavenly father? What kind of Christian brothers do you need? We discover here that God cares about the lost because they're sought. All these things are sought after. The lost sheep. I got 99, but I got to find that one. Where did it go? I got to rescue it. I got to bring it back. It's lost. It has value. I care. And he searches it. He finds it. And I suppose with sheep, you have a hard time getting them to, you know, mind you. I don't think it worked to collar them very well and drag them. He just hoists it up on his shoulder and hauls it home. Rejoice, I found it, guys. Wonderful. And this, in case we didn't get it, this love for the lost, this love portrayed in sheep, more rejoicing over one sinner than churchgoers who already know better and already repenting and, you know, they're already in the fold. More rejoicing over one than all of them who haven't wandered. Now, if that's so, then we need to start singing with heaven. We need to get in tandem and sync with the angels rejoicing instead of the accidental Pharisees grumbling. And then the coin. The coin's just an inert thing sitting there. Circumstances have brought this person to lostness, but it's valued. You care about it. They light a lamp. They go in search of. They're looking for. I must find. This is who Jesus is. I come to seek. Seek. And save the lost. He cares. Because he loves. It doesn't say he came to seek and save the found already. I come to seek and save the put together already. I come to seek and save the desirable already. The undamaged, the unsinful. I come to seek and save the lost. The damaged, the messy, the not so lovely sinners. Tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors, Roman sympathizers, tax collectors, they thieves, tax collectors. They steal from their own people, tax collectors, yeah. Jesus seeks little short, fat wallet Zacchaeuses. And goes into their home and fellowships with them because he cares, because he seeks to save the lost. That's what he does. If we feel like the Pharisees and grumble about that, then we've made a self-assessment. I don't need to be sought. I don't need to be saved. I don't need mercy. I don't need God's love that way, because I got it together, apparently. Accidental Pharisees. And then we have this son, this son, so he thinks he has life by the tail. He thinks he has it all figured out. If I could just get away from mom and dad, if I could just, money's my problem. If I could just have my inheritance now, I'm going to ask for it. According to the law of Deuteronomy, as the younger son, he'd get a third. And two-thirds would go to older brother eventually. Dad didn't have to give it to him, but he does. And now he's off. He can drive a vet. He can drive to Vegas. He can party. He can gamble. He can buy sexual favors. He can live wild, man, wild. He's going to live it up. He's going to do it right. He's going to finally get away from this small town, and everyone knows your business, and I got to be at synagogue on Saturday, and oh, finally I'm liberated. Until he found himself in bondage. Until his money was gone. Until the economy went sideways. Until his money is expended and he's hungry and he has to hire himself out and it's a lousy job. Here he was a son of an estate, doing fine. Now he's hired help in a foreign land, a Jew feeding pigs. And he's so desperate, he wishes he could eat and nibble on the hog pods. Looks tasty. I'm hungry. Loss in small little doses of strain. Lost as circumstances come upon someone in their life and they just find themselves not part of it. Things that have hardened their heart away from God. And those who've been very calculated to get away. But in each case, there's one seeking what's lost. Is there anyone here, if you had a son or a daughter, a cousin, a sibling, who's ran off, find themselves lost, doesn't want to see them found? If you knew what he did to my dad, how he hurt my mom, you don't want to see him found? The elder brother isn't glad. He's an accidental Pharisee. The Pharisees are supposed to see themselves in him. I mean, that's why it's told, these parables. You have rejoicing in heaven over the sheep, as it's explained, one lost sinner being saved. You have rejoicing in the whole household, calling neighbors, look, I found my coin, rejoicing. You have a big party. A big celebration, music and feasting and banquet, and there's noise. The older brother comes in. What's going on? There's commotion. There's happiness. Except for grumbling Pharisees, that tax collectors and sinners come to Jesus as he embraces lost neighbors. It's critical we get this because this is the gospel. And if we don't get it, it's sort of playing religion. It's playing Christianity, but not living it, not believing it, not doing it. It's checking some moral boxes, and the Pharisees were good at that one. Tell me what I got to do. Show me the boxes. I'll try to get my life in order so I can check them all. And what's not a box they want to check or are willing to check is that he eats, receives sinners, and eats with them. See, when you eat with someone, that's more than, yeah, hello, yeah, fine, yeah, stay away. You're inviting intimacy. You're inviting fellowship. You're inviting to get to know. If you have someone at your house, you know, that's part of what happens. Well, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing? How's it going with you? We know each other well. How are you? How's that been? How are your children? How's that going? Where are you? What's your plans? Oh, this has hurt you. This is... You come close. You share. Jesus shows us that his embrace of lost neighbors knows he can't just bark at them. You can't just hold them at a distance and say, be fixed, be fixed. Are you fixed? Don't come close. You want Jesus doing that to you? All right, I'm for you. I saved you. No, stand off. Don't come too close. You're soiled. He comes to bear and be punished and suffer the wrath of our soiledness. He comes very close to us. He unites himself with us. We come to a table of the Lord and he still dines with tax collectors and sinners and whoremongers and other prodigal type sons. He knows our past. He knows us. He knows our thoughts. He comes to seek and save the lost. He seeks. This brother comes to his senses. Not all wayward sons, daughters who've stolen away from the family of faith, the community of faith, not all of them do. Or it sure can take a long lifetime to see that they do. Here's a father, though, who must have been watching the roads as long as his son had been gone. Because when he finally sees the silhouette of his son, even in rags, he's in a sprint to go to him. He's seeking him. He's not, you know, standing back, arms crossed. Well, 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 look who's back. Well, 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 look how he's dressed. Well, 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 I guess it hasn't gone well for him. Well, well, I can give him a piece of my mind. Well, well, well. That's not it. Because that's not who God is. This isn't a matter of let's find out if he's worthy of grace. When we think like that, we think like Pharisees. Grace isn't something you're worthy of. Ever. Your repentance doesn't get you fixed enough to be loved and forgiven. You don't get sanctified so you can get justified. Christ doesn't die for you because you're not a sinner. While you're yet a sinner. His love goes forward, and he hangs on a cross for unrepentant people, whom he brings to repentance by grace. It's a story of two brothers, two responses, really. We see this grace displayed in this wayward son. He comes to his senses. My father has plenty of hired hands. I'm not worthy to be his son. I know that. He sees his mistake. He sees his sin. He is a repentant man, yes. I'll go to my father. But notice something. He knows he can. He knows that his father is someone he can go to with what he did. He knows, and of course this shows us who God is. God is one, when I've defied him and sinned deliberately and foully and grossly, he's one that I can go to. That's who you need. That's who I need. We need to know that Jesus is the one who holds out his hands. Come to me. I think I preached the gospel for 15 years before I saw that with the clarity I needed to. And I was reading Calvin's Institutes over again, and he had a passage in there that sinners only turn to a God of grace. One in whom, from whom, they can receive mercy. Exactly. So he resolves to go to his father, and that's exactly what he does, and now the father goes to him. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me a hired servant. And the father's barking orders to the servants: robe, ring, shoes, calf. Robe, my son is clothed. Shoes, he's not a slave, he's a son. Ring, he's part of the family, he's not hired help. It's not on those terms. If you have some due penitence and after you've reimbursed dad, then you might be included in the family. It's funny how we Protestants bemoan Catholic penance, but we can act the same way. But that's not in here. There's celebration. And there's a party. A son was lost. He's found. He was dead. He's alive. There's only one response to that: joy and blessing and celebration. And that's what's given to him. Now comes the accidental Pharisee, the grumbler. And it doesn't take him long to start grumbling that there's a meal that dad is eating with sinners, this sinner, this son of yours. Notice that he's not a brother of mine, he's a son of yours. This son of yours. I'm done with him. I've finished with him. He left home good. Stay gone. But Jesus shows himself to be the brother that seeks lost sons, lost brothers. What if this had been a brother who, instead of saying, "I'm done with him, Dad," said, "I hurt for him, Dad. I want to talk sense to him, Dad. I'm going to go look for him, Dad. I think he headed north out of town, Dad. I'm just going to try if anyone's seen him. I'm going to need some traveling money. Maybe I can talk sense to him, Dad." That's not the kind of brother he was. But that's the kind of Savior Jesus is. To you. To me. To our children. Toward the many afar off whom we don't even know, but the Lord's pleased to call. A warm embrace of lost neighbors, calling us not to be elder brothers, not accidental Pharisees, but to be people who join a party. In fact, the dad goes out, doesn't he? He invites the son in. Son, come join. He's angry. This no good son of yours who spent all your money on prostitutes, who's lived like the devil. He comes home and you throw him a party. Have you ever thrown me a party? I've been slaving for you. Notice how he perceives his relationship. Not I've been serving alongside you delightfully as part of our family business, but I've been a slaving for you. Where's my party with my friends? Zip. Gypped. I've been gypped. And now this one, this son of yours, he gets this. Really? And the father explains the gospel to him. This brother of yours was lost and was found. He's dead. He's alive. And the parable ends. Does the brother join the celebration? Does he come to his senses? Does he discover, yeah, that's right. We all need that kind of love and that kind of grace and that kind of mercy and that kind of seeking and that kind of celebration of the lost being found. Because the Pharisees were grumbling. They knew exactly who they were in these parables and who they weren't. But it's an invitation to them, and it's an invitation to all of us where we would be tempted to be accidental Pharisees. It's an invitation for all of us to come join the celebration. Because we need ourselves a God who's this kind, a God who's this patient. I know that many of you have never suffered, and you, by God's grace, you've never even been tempted, really, seriously, to do the younger son's style of rebellion and worldly wildness. That's wonderful. But sometimes we can see that it would be there in our hearts, or it passes our mind, or some other. How about the temptation simply not to want to be that gracious toward that kind of person? And don't you see then how lost that is? How nasty and mean. What can live in our hearts? There's still an invitation to accidental Pharisees, an invitation to the Pharisees, an invitation to the elder brother to come join the celebration. You see, if he comes and joins, he's no longer slaving for dad, but serving dad. He's no longer judging younger brother is undeserving of grace, but none of us are deserving, not me either. He's happy that this brother of his was lost, was found, was dead, and now alive. And so would I be, yet, but I have a merciful Heavenly Father who seeks me. You see that he seeks you in every sermon you hear? He seeks you when he puts his words in your ears. He seeks you and he nurtures you and your children in Bible study or catechism class or Sunday. Do you see God seeking to nurture and enfold you? And so none of us are this son of yours, this daughter of yours, no, this brother, this sister of mine with me who needs your love and grace and kindness and mercy and patience and sanctifying hand, who needs forgiveness, who needs God to do what only God can do, to help us, to heal us, to save us, to lead us forward. And that's why we're called to mirror a heart for the wayward. That's what we find. That's what Jesus is showing them. You get coins, right? You're not a, I find a coin. Oh, I'm glad to. Lost sheep, you get that? Oh, yeah, I'm glad when I find it. Yeah, you get that. What about lost sinners that are far more valuable than sheep or coins? You won't, Joyce? Then you're a lost son that also needs to be found. That's what Jesus shows us. We assemble here confessing we're not lost but found. We're not dead but alive. We come here confessing that we love God because he first loved us. We come confessing, I didn't choose thee, that could never be. You chose me. Your grace found me. Your mercy is upon me. Now I can only be grateful. And I can only then desire to mirror the love of Jesus in my heart for the wayward. Your brother was dead and was alive. He was lost and was found. It's fitting to celebrate. Amen. Lord, teach us your way. May we grow up in your truth, march the way of the gospel, not play at the faith, but live it. And may we marvel at a father who runs out to one wayward, whose sins were so insulting, so scandalous, so hurtful. And yet, by your grace, you bring to senses any who are lost in this church, bring to their senses. Any who are wayward, Lord, we ask for your mercy upon them. Lord, we know people who need the gospel. May we have a heart for the wayward and learn to love and forgive and have the searching wisdom and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll sing 431, stanzas 1.